Hello, you are listening to Verge Radio at verge.com, which is V-U-R-G-E.com. Today we have an interview with Eric Huffschmidt, and I'm going to begin it already in the interview. I told Eric that I do not necessarily believe that the Zionists are the end-all, be-all, top of the pyramid, that there might be something above them. Anyways, I'm open to the possibility. I'm not biased either way. And I asked him what his opinion on that was. So let's get started listening to the interview.
Well, I'd say that's what everyone is, if you look into 9/11 or the Holocaust, World War One or World War II, that's where you end up, is this Zionist movement. I mean, where you don't leave, that's where everyone ends up going. It's not because of any anti-Jewishness. It's just that's where you go. You follow the path long enough, and you can't find anyone beyond them. And that nobody who got into 9/11, like when I first did it, I didn't have any idea. I thought it was an isolated incident just by one crime gang one time. I didn't even realize it was like a long-standing series of events. But yeah, as you look into it, you start noticing, and like the King David Hotel bombing, it's almost identical to 9/11. It's just 9/11 was just a big version of it.
Yeah, without question. And so was the Oklahoma City bombing, and so was the, there's a bomb in Manchester. I'm actually calling from Manchester, England, and there's a bomb here in 96, I think, and it was the same, exactly the same thing as the Oklahoma City thing, and probably the King David Hotel.
That's what I mean. And so if you look in, as you look into 9/11, you start realizing it, the Vatican didn't do the King David Hotel bombing. The Vatican didn't attack the USS Liberty. And I didn't even know about those things. I didn't even know about the King David Hotel when I got into 9/11, or the USS Liberty, or a lot of the other things. So I thought I was completely clueless to all of that. And so, and most people seem to be also. And so when they get into 9/11, they start looking around. You know, they're not trying to find Jews. They just, that's what you find. And you see the pattern after a while. You see it's just one after the other after the other. And it's all because of the Internet. You see, years ago, nobody would have seen easily, you know, what was going on in history. Now you just do a search, and all this stuff starts popping up.
Yeah, but do you think that all this stuff that keeps popping up is, number one, true, and number two, does it prove that the top of the pyramid is Jewish? Because what I suspect is that the top of the pyramid is something that we just simply don't know about. And I consider myself a sufficiently intelligent person, but who knows? Maybe it's whatever is at the top of the pyramid is something so awe-inspiring or superior or exalted that our minds can't even comprehend it. I mean, you know, that's getting hocus-pocus and New Agey, but, you know, maybe sometimes all this hocus-pocus stuff is called for, you know? Maybe we have to discuss the supernatural if we really want to know what's at the top of the pyramid.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the people at the top are not even religious. They're not even Jews. Some of those people, I bet they aren't.
Seems like they might not be.
Yeah, but, see, you have the question of, it's a hierarchy. Who cares who's at the very top? Who cares who's underneath? Who cares in the middle? It's like the Gambino family. I mean, if one of the crime members robs you, rapes you, and then sticks you with a knife, are you going to care whether he's one of the low-level guys or one of the high-level? It doesn't matter. He stuck you with a knife, he raped you, he robbed you. Who cares what part of the hierarchy they're in?
Yeah, but that's not getting at the root cause of the problem. That's the whole point. I mean, yeah, you want to get back at the rapist, but that's not going to finish.
Well, I'm saying it's a crime network, and we don't know what level everybody is, and it doesn't matter. It's a crime network. You want to get rid of all of them. And there's arguing over who's at the top. What difference does it even make?
Yeah, but we couldn't get rid of all crimes, all criminals, every criminal in the world. It would be impossible because another criminal would be born the next minute, you know?
Well, I know, but I'm saying when you're trying to talk about 9/11, you know, people argue over who's at the top of the hierarchy. Well, what difference does it make? It's the point. What does it matter? We're not going to be able to figure it out, and they may not even know themselves. I bet you, if you look at this network, it's so big that people within it aren't even exactly sure where everybody is in this network.
Well, do you think that David Rockefeller bows down to someone?
Yeah, especially at his age. I bet all he's doing now is surviving. He's, look at how old he is.
Who does he bow down to then?
When he was younger, he may have been more active, but at his age, I'm sure he's not really doing much of anything at this point in time. And when he was younger, he probably was following orders from somebody, like the Rothschilds, or maybe they were working together. Maybe he wasn't like a low-level guy following orders, but they may have been working together. But at his age now, I don't think he's anybody real important.
Okay, but let's say hypothetically he was bowing down to the Rothschild, or a Rothschild, Evelyn Rothschild, who's the head of, as far as I know, he's basically the head of the city of London, which seems to be the financial capital of the planet, right? Let's say he bowed down to him. Who does Evelyn Rothschild bow down to someone else? Who does Evelyn Rothschild follow?
Yeah, but see, this is where I have a feeling that there is no top of the hierarchy in that sense, that there are different people fighting for control. And I think the Rothschilds are just one group fighting for control. The Israelis, there are people within Israel fighting, and they're not just fighting the Rothschilds, they're fighting other Israelis. You've got already accusations from that Barry Chamish guy that some of the Israelis are killing one another. Like, who was that one who was killed? Yitzhak Rabin, maybe? Remember, he's already accused some of the Israeli officials of killing other Israeli officials. And if you look at any crime network, you see this behavior all the time. They're always fighting with one another to be the boss. And so I think this, and this Jewish network is so big, I think the fighting is even on a larger scale than what you saw on the little tiny Italian crime networks. Mm-hmm. And so when you say, who are they following, I bet you they're not – the Rothschilds are not really following anybody, but at the same time, other people aren't listening to them either. You know, they're at the top of their little hierarchy, but there are people that are not paying any attention to them. There are people disregarding them.
Then how would the media be so homogenous in its propaganda?
Well, it isn't totally.
Isn't
Fox
it?
News is a little different. But you see, the overwhelming thing that keeps them together is the same as the Italian crime gang. They fight with each other, but their overwhelming goal is to keep the police away. And so even though they fight with each other, their biggest priority is saving themselves. And the same is true with this crime network. They fight with each other. They kill each other even. They probably have all sorts of diabolical tricks with one another, but their overall goal is to maintain secrecy so that the rest of us don't know what's going on. And so that's why even though they'll fight with each other, they will seem to be working together because their primary goal is to keep the militaries and everybody else fooled.
But that would just render them a generic elite.
Well, some of them probably are. Some of those people probably don't even – I don't think the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds are really into religions. I doubt it. Some of those people, even though they might have some Jewish ancestry, I bet you they're not really Jews, and they may not even care that much for Israel. That's the other thing I think is causing trouble. Within this network, you've got the religious people, the religious Jews. You've got some religious Christians at some level in it. And then you've got people that are not religious. And I think there's fights going on between those people even.
Yeah, but then that brings us to the topic of Israel, and we often consider Israel to be a Jewish state, but the fact of the matter is it seems to be a base, a foundation for the reestablishment of the Temple of Solomon, which refers to the true religion of the elite, which seems to be something akin to Kabbalah and basically witchcraft.
Well, yeah, some of the people in there, I bet they're not following any religions. The Rockefellers may not follow anything. But this is another problem. What is Israel? Is it a religious state or not? If some of the Jews over there don't, they say no. You look at some of the articles coming out of Israel in their own newspapers, you'll see some of them saying no, it's not a religious state. And others are saying it should be. And this is one of the fights you have going on within Israel. Between those Orthodox Jews, between the moderate Jews, and between the Jews that aren't even religious. There's Jews over there that aren't religious. And so what is Israel? And what are they working for? What are all the Jews working for here? Are they working for a religion, or are they working for something else? this is why I think this network is in trouble. They've got a lot of people, but they don't have just one goal. There's fighting between them. And that's one of the things that's going to help bring them down is their inability to figure out who is their leader, what are their goals, what are they trying to accomplish. They don't know. They don't have one hierarchy, one leader, one goal. I think there's fights going on.
From an outsider's perspective, it certainly does seem to be a very succinct group that has a lot of solidarity.
Yeah, but that's the same with true with the Italian gangs. That's what it looked like from the outside too. Even with Al Capone and Bugsy Moran.
Yeah, that's
Moran,
a good point. Yeah.
All you do is look at from the outside. You see criminals apparently working together. You don't see that, but they're actually cheating each other, killing each other, trying to find ways to sabotage each other. But because their primary goal is to stay away from the police and keep hidden, and that's the same with this network.
Mm-hmm.
Their primary goal is to keep us all fooled, and keep the military fooled, and keep the police fooled. But I don't think they're working together very well at all. I think
By that definition, there is no conspiracy.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
But if there is no solidarity, then there can be no conspiracy.
It's just a messed up conspiracy.
All right.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a real, and I think that's the problem they have. They're, look at 9/11. I mean, there were so many stupid things about that. People say, well, how could they do something that's such an obvious mess? I think part of it is they're not well coordinated, and there are fights going on between them. And I'll bet that a lot of the people had no idea those towers were going to be blown up, the people that were in it, until after it was done. They cheated their own members. They lied to their and deceived their own people. And I bet you that's causing a lot of resentment, too. The people who were lied to, who were working for them. You know, they're probably even wondering, who's in control of this group? And I think this is one of the things that's going to ruin them. It's a big group that doesn't agree completely. They're in different nations. Some are religious, some aren't. And I think this is one of the things that's going to ruin them. They're like a big, gigantic organism that, you know, not working together well. And it's kind of ready to break up at any moment. And the only thing that's holding them together is the fear that the police and the military are going to come after them. That's the only thing that seems to hold them together is fear.
That makes sense, yeah.
And fear is not a way to hold people together. That's a terrible organization. Fear, blackmail, bribery, that is a terrible organization. They're not going to be able to defeat a group of people who work on their own because they want to.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing they're up against. They're a very big group. They got a lot of money. But they're up against people who will work because they want to, not because of bribery or blackmail.
But if their modus operandi is by any means necessary, that doesn't necessarily mean that their overall goal is wrong. What if their goal is correct? What if they have some
sort of... Well, what is their goal?
Well, that's the question. What is their goal? It's the establishment. It is the reestablishment of the Temple of Solomon, number one. I mean, and then I don't know what is in the Temple Mount itself. There's some sort of holy rock or something. Are they attempting to reinstate that holy rock as the...
But you see, if their goal is some religious thing, then I think they're going to have a lot of their own members saying that's not what they want. There are people within that group, I bet, who don't care about that desert they call Israel. They don't care about all these religious things. And so they have a problem. I mean, if their goal was something to make the world better, they'd get a lot of support.
Could their goal be the reestablishment of Babylon?
Well, it could be. I mean, within the group, there could be some people that are into this.
Because they've turned America into Babylon.
Yeah, within the group,
and now Europe is following suit.
Yeah, within this group, there are religious people, and they're playing with numbers all the time, and they're looking at through the Bibles and the Talmud. But there's also Jews that are not religious, and they look at this as a bunch of nonsense. So you've got that conflict. I mean, what is the group? Just because some people want this Temple of Solomon doesn't mean that's what the group wants. And I think that this is one of the things that's causing trouble for them, is this conflict between them. Is they don't have a goal.
But Eric, what if the reestablishment of the Temple of Solomon were a good thing? What if their goal is good? That's my whole point. Okay, we've established that their means of operations are, you know, basically terrorists and have basically destroyed the world. Okay, I'm not even going to argue against that. But what if their overall goal is a positive one? Is that possible?
Well, yeah. I mean, you could say it's possible. I don't know what the Temple of Solomon does positively for the world, though. What is that going
to
do?
Well, that's the question. That's the question nobody seems to ask is the esoteric one at the root cause of this entire world conflict and the root cause of why you and I have and everybody else has done radio shows on the internet trying to figure out what is really going on. It's not because so what if Jews are doing this or Christians are doing that or Islam's people are doing that or whatever? Who cares? What really matters is why they're doing it, and nobody asks that question, why? You know?
Well, one of the things I've brought up, though, I've thought about that, too. The reason I think they've gotten so many people on their side is that they've told people, you know, you're going to work with this wonderful group of people and you're going to create a better world, a new world order, or whatever they want to call it. I think that's how they got a lot of their supporters. But what I've been pointing out to people is if these people had a sensible goal, they would tell us what it is. What is it? They don't have it. There is none. Like I mentioned but once before in my own audio files, if these were intelligent people, we'd see some signs of it.
Yeah,
they
but
don't,
we view,
they don't
view
produce
us,
anything.
They view the Goyim and the commoners as too profane to comprehend what their true goal is. And what if the possibility is maybe a lot of people are too profane to understand what their goal is? You know,
yeah,
who
but
knows,
they,
you know?
Yeah, but they could put the goal out there. There's a lot of stuff out there already. There's no reason why they couldn't say what their goal is. There's no reason they can't say intelligent
maybe
things.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do say it. You know, maybe they write it down. Maybe it's in books already. You know?
Well, maybe it's – yeah, but if it's all secretive, then they're hurting themselves because nobody's going to understand it. You see, no matter how you look at it, these people – there's something wrong here. If they were an intelligent group, you'd at least get some intelligent thoughts out of these people once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's just you're just questioning honesty. What is honesty the best policy? You know, who
knows? I'm not saying
honesty.
I'm saying their ultimate goal. What is
forthright? Yeah, they're not being forthright. I agree that they are not being forthright.
But I think part of the reason they're not being forthright is because they don't want you to know what their goal is because they're lying to their own
comfort. Yeah, but they don't want you to know what their goal is because is it a bad goal? Is that why it is? I mean, their goal is the destruction of the planet. It doesn't. I don't know if that's really something.
I don't think their goal is destruction of the planet. Their goal is their own. It's their own selfish goal, and there's different goals among them. Is what I think the biggest problem is. Some of them have religious fantasies. Some of them don't. You know, some of them just want to become rich. I don't think they have just one goal.
But hypothetically speaking, if they did have some sort of pure distilled goal, what would it be?
Well, I think they've tricked a lot of people into joining them on the grounds that the goal is to create a better world, this new world order. I think that's how they got a lot of people working for them all these years. They told people, you know, look at the average person. He's an animal, and we can make a better world if you join with us. And I think that is what they've been telling people for decades. And they've been getting a lot of people to work for them on the grounds that if you join with us, we're going to help make the world better. But they never explained in detail how are they going to make the world better, what exactly are they going to do. And they never told anybody that because their real goal was to take over and just use everybody else to help create, you know, to take control for themselves. It's just like a crime gang. They had tricked people into joining their group, thinking that they're doing something good when actually they're just helping a small group of selfish people. And that's why I think the goal isn't out there. That's why there is no goal. If they had a real goal, they would say, here's our goal. They wouldn't have to be afraid of it. Why would they have to be afraid to say what their goal is?
Wait. What about the name of God? You can't say the name of God in Hebrew, right? Maybe they can't tell us what their goal is because if they do, they're blaspheming.
Yeah. But they can still say something. There's something they can say. I mean, come on. But I think that's what the goal has always been to make. You know, they already have publicly. They're telling people what their goal is. They're telling the goal is a new world order, to create a better more peaceful world, you know, where the world is more united. That is what they're telling people their goal is. But I don't think that is their real goal.
Why isn't it? To play devil's advocate, why is it not their goal?
Because what they're, I think they're doing is they're telling people this is what our goal is so that they can get the Chinese, the Japanese, and the Americans, everybody else to work for that goal, when in reality what they're trying to do is take over the entire planet for themselves. That's what their real goal is.
Monopoly.
They're tricking people and saying, yeah, work with us and we'll make the world better. And really what they're saying is, work with us and we'll trick you into letting us take control of you and the world is what they're doing. And I think that's what a lot of people in their movement are starting to realize, that they've been suckers.
Yeah, but what if – okay, wait. What if we were to use a sexual metaphor to this, what if the masses are the woman and the Zionists are the man, right? And what is the woman's always complaining that the man is just using her to end justifies the means, right? And,
right.
So what if the Zionists are basically the embodiment of masculine energy? And what if all of this is simply oscillation, and the pendulum swinging back and forth? And essentially, what happens is that this great pyramid arises, which is basically a phallus, you know, symbol or whatever. And it basically impregnates the world for the new age. I mean, seriously, doesn't that make sense?
Well, I don't know exactly. I mean, you can look at it in all kinds of ways. You can look at it like what you see with animals, too, where the sickly, weak, and stupid animals get eaten by the others. You could say that's what's happening right now. The Jews are eating all the stupid, sickly goyim. I mean, you can look at it in different ways, but what it is that's what it's the trick is what they're really doing. They're not really trying to make the world better. They're trying to take over. There's a difference there. And you could say that if they took over, it would be a better world, because if they really are a better group of people, and if, you know, if that's true, then when they took over, then you could say it would be an improvement. From the point of view of an alien watching this from another planet, you know, what he would see, if the Jews are really a better group of people, what he would be seeing is that they are slowly taking over from the stupid goyim.
You know what? You know what?
Then,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Sorry. You know what? You just said if somebody were to look at us from outer space. And what I'm picturing is at the turn of every age, because of the 12 zodiac signs, right? So let's say, okay, with the Hindus, they call it yugas, right, where this, it's a cyclical cycle, right? Okay, now at the turn of the last age with Christ, with Jesus Christ, what was happening in the world is exactly what's happening right now. There's this Babylon-type environment, and the Jews, one Jew goes up against the rest of the Jews and says, you guys are wrong because you guys are eye for eye people, you know, tooth for tooth. And he say, no, be kind to your neighbors or whatever. So what if all this 2012 stuff that's happening right now is really just because on December 21st, 2012, the new age is going to begin, the age of Aquarius. What if this happens every turning of the zodiac sign age? Like, and what if Akhenaten was the one before Christ?
Well, I don't know about. I mean, you can speculate on all kinds of things, but I don't know what evidence there would be to believe that 2012 is even meaning anything. I mean, 12, whatever it is, 2012.
Well, because that's no. I mean, that's like there's a physical. I mean, there's like.
Well, I know
it doesn't matter whether you believe in the hocus pocus side of it, but I mean, there is like a physical thing going on in the sky in relation to the Earth, where, you know, like the Earth is, I don't know, pointing at. Right now we're in the age of what, Pisces, and then the next age it points at the age of Aquarius. So
well, I know you can,
you know,
you can bring
it is physical.
Well, I know you can have all kinds of theories like that. But if you have theories like that, then you could create all kinds. You could say, you know, what's happening right now is part of what's supposed to happen too, and you could say I'm following some, you know, the thoughts in my mind are coming from something external also. We're all just like players in a big galactic play.
I'm not trying to get too abstract. I'm just saying that what if they follow that? And
well, they
what,
could. That's,
you know,
there are probably some. Yeah. I bet you there are. This is what I'm saying. I think within the group, there are all sorts of different attitudes, and this is what's causing them trouble. Because
what, yeah. Go on.
Because this is one of the causes of conflict within the group, is what are they doing? Who is in control? What are they trying to achieve? I think this is the problem. It's a very big group. Whenever you get a big group of people together, you're going to have these differences among them. And you're going to have people that are disregarding whoever is supposed to be in leadership and just being his own leader, forming groups within groups, factions within the group.
What if the so-called Antichrist, who is predicted to appear or whatever within the next few years, what if he's not actually opposed to Jesus? What if he is the new Jesus for the new age? You know, what if they release a new or naturally a new avatar is released every new age, you know, to bring on the new world religion or you know what I mean? What if that's possible?
Well, I know these things are possible, but I mean, even what do we even know about Jesus? I mean, he was a Jew. I mean, what do we know about him? People can't even figure out what he looks like. They say he's a Jew, but what is he? You know, they don't draw him as a Jew. They draw him as some white Caucasian guy from Norway or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And I mean, you could say that these things are happening, these events are happening, but there's some God up there doing all of this. But if, you know, if there's a God doing all this, that means we have no control over what's happening anyway. If this is all just in a playbook, and he's controlling it all, then there's no point in fighting it.
Well, why is everybody fighting it? That's you know, that's my biggest question is, Daryl Bradford Smith, he's and you too, when you guys were doing the show, you came up with a million different facts, none of which were contestable, you know, for argument's sake, but never really, as far as I'm concerned, really got to the point is you know, are they wrong for doing what they're doing?
Well, we don't know what they're doing. I mean, see, it's like I said in the back of my book. Let me see what I wrote. Because I remember writing something about that issue. Yeah, I said 9/11 was like the 1776 revolution. You know, what I was pointing out is that if they do these things and something benefits, you know, it actually improves the world, then you could say, well, it's, you know, it may have been ridiculous, but at least we benefited. But what I was pointing out is, what's the benefit from this? Who's benefiting by these attacks, these wars, and all the rest that they're doing? There's only a small group of people benefiting. It's people like Larry Silverstein who make money. You got some government officials making money, some defense contractors making money. You got Israel benefiting. That's it. I mean, this is not a new world order. This is a small group of people just selfishly doing things, and they're benefiting at the expense of everybody else. They're not improving the world overall. From the point of view of some alien creature watching the Earth, he's not going to see any improvements. He's going to be wondering, what's going on? Is this
Wait. I've thought about that before. What if there have been improvements? I mean, that's one thing that conspiracy shows or patriot people, they never stop and say, well, there have been a lot of good, things that have happened in the past 100, 200 years in terms of technology, you know. And they'll say, oh, technology is evil. But is it really? I mean, technology is allowing you and I to speak. I'm calling you from England, you know. I'm calling you you're
technology.
8 hours behind me.
But we're not talking about technology. We're talking about like 9/11, the world wars. What's that accomplishing?
Yeah, but maybe there's been some good things. Is what I'm saying. I mean, that it happened in the 20th century, 19th century, whatever.
Well, they have
some
been good
positive
things
developments. I mean, maybe, you know, supposedly we're that much taller than we were 100, 200 years ago, right? Because you look at old like beds or whatever in old mansions or whatever, and they're like 4 feet tall or whatever. Now we're at least, you know, 5 feet and a half.
Well, I know, but what does that have to do with Israel or Zionism or anything? What you have to ask is
What does it have to do with Israel Zionism? I mean, I think that in a certain extent, people are going to blame the Zionists for all the wars that are happening in the world right now, they should also blame Zionists for a lot of the scientific developments that have happened in the past 200, 300 years. And going back to Galileo, really, I mean, why was he a heretic? You know, because he was espousing knowledge, you know, against the wishes of the Catholic Church. And what is knowledge, you know? And I'm not saying that Rothschild himself was a scientist, but I am saying that it would seem that if you're going to argue one side against them, that you'd also have to include the possibility that they also have been a vehicle for progress with a capital P in the Masonic sense, you know.
Well, but how did they create progress? You have to ask yourself, what if there had been another world, if you could go back in time and create two Earths, one without them and one with, which one would have been better? Would the 20th century have been better without Zionism at all? Are you saying that the 20th century has improved somehow because of Zionism?
Well, if you look at modern art, they reduced okay, what happened with modern art was it was a lineal reduction from complex naturalism and exalted portrayals of God people down to things like cubism, which was a reduction, and you know, impressionism before it, which was also the basically kind of the first reduction away from naturalism. And then it got reduced further and further down to Jackson Pollock, where he's painting all this, you know, rubbish on the on a big canvas. And then it got even further down into minimalism, and which was basically the true death of art, and down to just a cube, you know. And but what if there are positive aspects to that as well? And you can't say that Zionism didn't have anything to do with modern art, because it obviously had everything to do with it, you know, or at least Jews did. You know.
Well, I don't know. Modern art doesn't get me too excited, but what you have to look at is
It doesn't have to get you excited. It has to serve a purpose. What I'm saying is, is it possible that there was progress involved in it?
Well, there may have been. I'm sure there has been progress. I'm sure Israel is even doing something. But you have to look at how many people have been in the Zionist movement, and what would have happened if they had not had Zionism. That their efforts would have gone into something. They could have gone into something even more productive than all these wars and terrorist attacks and the recreation of Israel.
Why can't these wars be seen as productive, albeit destructive?
Well, there's a
way.
Big difference between the wars that we're having and the type of wars that go on in the animal world. When animals have fights with each other, the weak die, the sickly and retards die. When Israel stages wars, they kill the healthy people, leave all kinds of freaks, garbage, to damage, destruction. They're not helping the world. They're taking over.
The same thing can be said about the Spaniards invading Mexico, because I've long had a theory that the Spaniards basically, you know, chopped down the cream of the crop of the Aztec Empire, and then basically what they left behind were the plebeians.
Well, they slaughtered all kinds of people.
Right. So, but I mean, that's just the nature of
conquest. That's what happens in nature is. You'll see that happening all the time, but see, that's not what Israel is doing. Israel is in these Zionists. They're not helping other societies in any way. Animals, what animals do when they fight with each other? They actually improve one another. The competition between animals helps both groups. That's not what Israel is doing. Israel is not helping us. The Zionists are not helping us. They're trying to take over through deception, trickery, bribery, blackmail. They're destroying things. It's not an improvement, and you can see even in Israel. Israel is that an improvement over any other society? If they're really the superior group, you should see it in Israel. You should see it in the areas that these people dominate.
But when you say superior group, what does that have to mean, that they're tall, blonde hair, blue eyes?
No. I mean, look at the lives of the people. Are their lives any better, any different? What's different about Israel that would make you think that it's a better group of people?
What if it's their idealism?
Well, can you see anything?
You can see their idealism. I'm not, and I have to reiterate that I'm not taking a bias pro or against Judaism, pro or against Israel, against Masonry, against whatever. But what if you can look at Israel and say, okay, well, there was like obviously an obvious attempt at utopia, and most obviously manifest in the kibbutz phenomena.
Well, one of the points I've been trying to make is, if Israel was truly something that people could see as a better place to live, first of all, Jews would see it and they'd want to live there. They don't even look at how many of them don't want to go.
Well,
there.
Yeah, but a lot of them used to. It used to be that they would basically flock there, right?
They don't want to. They've been there and they've been disgusted. A lot of them just like, get me out of here. I'd rather go back and live with Goyim. I mean, this is what they're doing. They don't want to live with themselves. They don't want to live with their own kind.
They're not. They don't want to live there because of the conflict going on. It's not because of any sort of difference with the ideals of Israel necessarily. I mean, I'm sure there are some of those people. Like, there's this guy. What is his name? Jack Bernstein or something like that. That did go up against them and said, "Okay, I don't like what you're doing because you're."
About the other Jews? Why don't they want to live there? Why don't they want to live with their own kind? Why do they keep coming with us? And then they use us and abuse us. What if they were really so great? You'd see it, and you'd see it in Israel by now. They've been there decades. They've had decades to show the world what they are and how they live and how they think and how they work and how they treat each other. We've seen it for decades, and we don't see any difference. We don't see any improvement. And they don't see it either. That's why when they go to Israel, they're happy to go back and live with the Goyim. In fact, a lot of them prefer to live with us. This is a sign that, you know, why should we let them take over? They're hardly a superior species when they don't even want to live there.
That's an interesting argument. I don't really have a counter to it.
But if you're going to travel, you go to Europe and you go to Israel. Which do you think is nicer?
I haven't been to Israel. I haven't been to Israel, so I can't really say. But
Maybe you ought to take a trip.
I kind of want to, I guess, but I want to go to Egypt too. But I'm kind of waiting for all this conflict to go down because I'm not really that interested in going there, see all the conflict.
Yeah, but there's not like wars there. That's exaggerated. They're not having wars every day.
It's kind of like ghetto fighting or something.
There's parts of Israel, they don't have any fights.
Have you been there?
No, but I've known some people that have been there. There's no fights. There's people going there all the time. The wars are exaggerated.
Mm.
There's hardly any Arabs fighting them. I mean, the Arabs don't even have much of a government. They don't have much in the way of technology.
The Palestinians obviously don't.
They're surrounded by poor people that have almost nothing. They're creating the impression that they're under attack. They're not under attack. It's a big joke. All they are is jokes and deception and lies.
Well, Eric, what if do you think that the Jews could possibly collectively act and serve as a scapegoat if there were true powers above them manipulating them?
Well, sure, if there's somebody above them.
Yeah, that's the question. Who chooses the chosen?
There's no one left, though. The Chinese? The Russians? Who is it? The Africans? Who's above them?
Well, I mean, it could theoretically be European, couldn't it?
Well, one or two are certainly in there. You got the Rothschilds, you could say they're European, but they're not. Who can possibly control Israel? It's a nation.
Well, somebody has it in their best interest to establish Israel. I mean, obviously, it was this Rothschild character from the turn of the 20th
century. Well, yeah, the whole Zionist
movement. That got the Balfour Declaration signed from whatever, right? For a Rothschild. So, obviously, a Rothschild was involved at its inception. Somebody wants it. Somebody wants it there. Who wants it there? Why do they want it there?
Yeah, the banking families may be willing to sacrifice Israel today too. But I don't see. I mean, no matter how you look at it, there are people in Israel in the high levels of this hierarchy. There's Rothschilds that are at the high levels. There's other banking families. There's a lot of people in the hierarchy, but the position. There's no sense worrying about who's in there. I mean, how can you worry about who's at the top?
Well, you have to. If you don't identify who's at the top or what's at the top and what their motive is, then there's no point fighting on either side because you don't know.
An Italian gang. Those Italian gangs, how could anybody know their hierarchy? It's their internal. It's an internal thing. Only they know.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of their own members don't know. Some of the members within the gang don't know exactly what's going on at the top. Even a corporation has this. You go to anybody in IBM at the factory floor and ask for the hierarchy. He doesn't know. They only know their own boss. And you ask them, what's the goal of IBM? They don't know.
So what if the whole world had been taken over by the Italian mafia? What would your reaction to that be?
It would be awful, too. But again, you have to look at the group themselves. How do they live? How do they treat each other? What kind of world would they create? Look at those people. They're losers. That's who joins these crime gangs. They're losers. And you wouldn't want them, and no matter what gang it is, you don't want the Japanese gang either. You don't want the Chinese gangs. All of the gangs. all of these organized crime gangs have to be dealt with. We have to get all of them out of the government. It's not just the Israelis and the Jewish gangs. All of them. Look at how they live their own lives, if you want to get an idea of what they're like. Look at how they treat one another. They can't even trust one another. That's how bad they are. They kill one another all the time. They live in fear of one another. Their networks are held together by fear, money, blackmail. It's not normal, what you call healthy human relationships. They can't form those. These people will turn on each other for the least little infraction. They'll sacrifice each other. They were, look at Al Capone and Bugsy Moran. One day they're friends, the next day they're killing each other. You see the same thing in Israel.
Yeah.
With Ariel Sharon. You know, what if Barry Chamish is correct and he was poisoned?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By other government officials. These people cannot trust one another, even at the very high levels.
So,
the very,
so,
very high
so
levels,
the opposite,
they're killing each other.
The opposite of that would be common, like, Catholic morals where everyone's kind to each other, or whatever Jesus said about being kind to your neighbor. Is that what you would advocate?
Well, I mean, I'm not much into what the Catholics are doing, but
the idea.
Well, I know what you mean. You have to look at the society. You have to look at what kind of society the people create. And, you know, crime gangs, what they create is are groups of that live in fear of one another. They're very unstable relationships. They can't trust one another. They can't trust anybody. And that's not what I would call healthy. That's not what I would want in control of the world.
Okay, Eric, if you could ask one question to the powers that be, do you have any burning questions left, or have you exhausted all of your hypotheses and interest in the subject matter of world conspiracy?
Well, I suppose there's all kinds of questions if you knew who to ask. But
you have your website called Huge Questions. So what is the hugest of questions?
I don't know. I never thought of that. But I guess it's like you say, what are their goals? What is this hierarchy? What's going on? You know, it's just all those details would be interesting to find out. Because I think a lot of their members are trying to actually do something useful. They were tricked into this. And they didn't realize that the Zionist movement may have even started out with respectable people in it. And it's been since taken over by this crime gang that's just selfishly doing what they want. That may be what's even going on here. Because what you see, the behavior of these people is not something I don't see how anyone can respect them. What they're doing is just insanity. It's not serving anybody's use, anybody's purpose. Except themselves. So it could be that some of the people that were in it, even started out as a group that was actually respectable.
Hmm. Then what altered their respectability?
Well, you can see the same thing with unions. When unions first
That's a good analogy. Yeah, yeah, unions and Teamsters.
And it's not just unions. You see it with businesses, corporations. A lot of them start off by one guy with a nice idea and a decent attitude, and then it gets bought or taken over,
mm-hmm.
and then it becomes a crime network.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the same thing when a nation gets started. It starts off with a fairly good attitude, and then pretty soon it's nothing but corruption.
As if all organization is inherently flawed.
It's not because of that. I think what it is, it's because of the – you see the same thing with the animal kingdom. You know, as once a group gets formed, you get these aggressive, dominating – selfish, violent people getting their way to the top through murder, bribery, blackmail, and nobody does anything about it.
So the animal takes over the angel.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. That's what I think is, you see it in every organization. Doesn't matter what it is.
Tell me some more organizations you've seen that happen in.
Well, you can see it with the Catholic Church. You can religions.
Yeah.
You can see it with every, you can see it with the sports groups would even have it, but they are constantly under watch.
Yeah.
You can see them having the same problems of even cheerleaders. Look at the, like it was a woman killing, had one cheerleader killed so her daughter could whatever it was, get into the cheerleading squad. Remember that in Texas?
No, that's unbelievable.
If you didn't stop that, if that woman was allowed to go on, just like they allow Larry Silverstein to go on, what do you think would happen? After a while, other women would start killing cheerleaders. And pretty soon it would be nothing but gangsters killing each other, all living in fear of one another.
So you're saying it's not – what you're saying is basically that it's not about Jews or Gentiles. It's about individual behavior. But is there still a difference between Jews and Gentiles?
Well, if there's a difference
– there's a difference according
to
them, right?
Race.
Right.
I mean, they're the ones that brought it to everyone's attention. I never years ago would have thought to me a Jew was a religion. But they're the ones saying it's a different race, and they may be correct. They may be a different race. They may be a different group of people. So I don't know. But what it is a crime network. That's how people have to realize it. What it may have been 100 years ago is not what it is today. It's a crime network.
How has it changed? How has it changed from the Theodore Herzl era to now?
Well, I don't know what it was. I'm just saying that it could have been in the beginning something nice, because if you look it could have been attracting some of the some more respectable people, because at that point in time, you know, they were saying, you know, could we buy some land? Can we work out a deal? They were just, you know, trying to create a homeland for Jews, and they were even looking for a way of doing it in a peaceful, sensible manner. And probably what happened, I guess, is that they realized, you know, nobody's going to give them land. And so some of the people just dropped out, and the others, violent groups, said, oh, who cares? We'll make it happen. We'll just start some wars. We'll just cheat some people. We'll kill and murder. And it may have just become a crime network, and then other criminals just join it as a great way to make money, not because they care about Israel. Look at the ones leaving Russia to go to Israel to get away from the police. I don't think they care about Israel. They're going over there just for sanctuary. And so it could be that Israel is just turning into a crime center now. And just like a union, becoming more and more corrupt. And nobody does anything about it, so it gets worse and worse and worse.
So what can be done when a union goes corrupt? I mean, what was that? I don't really know much about Jimmy Hoffa, but he was a Teamster, right?
Yeah, I don't know about the details about him either, but I'm just saying unions in general, you can see that they might have started out nice. They seem to have been, you know, for a reason. They developed for a reason. But then they become controlled by organized crime gangs.
Mm-hmm. And then the only way to do it is just to oust the
The trouble is, you can't, because the police don't care, the military doesn't care, the majority of people don't care. This is the problem. The majority of people, they don't care about anything. They just let this stuff happen. And by letting it happen, it just keeps on going and getting worse and worse and worse. And then you end up with the situation we have today, where crime is unbelievably rampant everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the stock markets, the banking system, the financial markets.
Yeah, what's your take on the whole financial debacle that's going on right now?
I don't know. I can't figure it out either. It looks like there's a big fight going on, though. It looks like, all I can guess is Israel is trying to ruin the economy of America, and the banking families are panicking and trying to stop it from happening because they don't want to.
Really? That's interesting, yeah.
I mean, that's all I can guess. I don't know. I don't have any inside information on the stock market, but that's what it looks like is happening.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody's trying to bring it down, and who would want to bring it down except Israel? And who would want to bring it up except the people that are in the banking families that don't want to lose their fortune? And I don't think Israel – this is one of the things I think is a fight going on between these people. I think Israel would happily sacrifice the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all the bankers and just take over the banking system.
You say Israel, who is that?
Well, who's ever in control of it right now?
Right.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in control of it? It was Ariel Sharon for a while. There was, and now he's what, poisoned? And then there was a guy before that, and he's been shot. Next year, Netanyahu may be killed by one of them. You don't even know. It's like a crime gang. You can't even figure out what's going on down there. They're killing each other. This is exactly the behavior you see with crime gangs. This is not humans. This is criminals. These are like psychos. And so who is in control of Israel, and who's going to be in control next year?
Do you listen to Alex Jones?
Yeah, once in a while.
Have you ever been on a show?
Yeah, actually I was.
You were?
Years ago, before they all turned against me.
What?
They won't talk about me or even mention my name now.
Yeah. What do you think is his what's going on with Alex Jones?
Well, all I can guess is he's lost. You know, people. He's been exposed so much that he's just trying to avoid people like me and the whole Israel topic. He's obviously protecting Israel.
I'd be the first to admit that he does definitely avoid the topic at all costs. But, you know, you never know whether he. I mean, he might be right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like there seems to be two camps. Okay, there's two camps. There's the Alan Watt and Alex Jones side, where they always avoid the topic of Israel and Jews and Zionism, and yet they do expose every other aspect of the so-called conspiracy. And then you got the other camp that is, you know, no, Zionist. And personally, I kind of waver between the two, or see the two as two sides of possibly kind of the same coin, like neither is right or wrong. And the answer still lies hidden.
Well, but if it's hidden, who's doing it? I mean, every time you look into every one of these crimes, it comes back to Israel, it comes back to Zionism, it comes back to somebody who's at least partly Jewish.
It does always seem to involve Jewish names, Jewish people, but that is still not proof. I'm not saying, you know, I'm against the possibility that it's a Jewish conspiracy, but it still isn't proven. And that's the thing is, like, if I'm a judge, you know, I'll take the role of a judge and say, well, there still isn't sufficient evidence to prove the case one way or the other. That's what my goal is to find out, is to really find out what is really happening. Who's really responsible?
Well, the only way
to
find out those kind of details, I mean, the kind of details you want, you'd have to get break the crime network. You'd have to get them starting to talk, or you'd have to be monitoring their phone calls or what they're talking about.
In your opinion, did Christopher Bolin, before he was supposedly kidnapped, did he accomplish what you're saying in infiltration?
What do you mean?
Was he able to infiltrate the crime network?
Infiltrated?
Was he able to find out information that other people weren't?
Oh, you mean investigating?
Yeah, investigating.
Well, I mean, he was looking into it, too. In 2002, when I first got in contact with him, he thought it was Britain that was behind 9/11. He was saying it was the city of London and the British monarchy. And I would tell him, no, look at it. It's Israel. Look at the Zionist movement. In 2002, that's what he thought. And there was, as he looked into it more and more, everyone ends up realizing, what's the city of London? That's Rothschild. Then you look at, you know, what happened at 9/11. You find Israel. He kept looking, and he came to the same conclusion everyone's coming to. It's Israel.
Yeah, but if that's a red herring?
Yeah, but what else is there?
No, but that's exactly what my point is. What if that's a red herring?
Well, then it's Israel's tough luck. They better start defending themselves. I mean, if they all leave, everywhere you go, you end up there. Whose fault is that? If everything goes to the Chinese, I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, but we have to admit we're dealing with highly intelligent people or highly tricky people, whichever way you want to look at it. Okay,
yeah.
And if they're that intelligent or that tricky, then they're going to be intelligent enough to set up a red herring. And what if that red herring is Judaism?
Well, it could be. It could be. I think you look at Christopher John Berkness. He is trying to blame the religious Jews. This is the other thing I was pointing out. Within this movement, there is a fight, and I think there are people within this movement trying to push the blame on the religious Jews, so that the other Jews can then sacrifice them, and then they can stay in control.
So then maybe Jews are scapegoats. I mean, there's
the religious Jews. Whichever
denomination of Jews, there may be an element within Judaism that is a scapegoat, or Judaism itself may be a scapegoat religion. And, you know, there's this movie called The House of Rothschild that came out in, like, in the 20s or 30s. And they show where the I guess it's King Wilhelm or whatever, the head guy of Prussia, is in cahoots with the Rothschilds, Mayor Rothschild, the first one, setting up false pogroms to persecute the Jews in order to accomplish certain goals.
Well, yeah, I think that is, but you see, it's other Jews doing it. It's not like the Vatican.
Yeah. No, that's that movie shows other Jews doing it along with the king or whatever of Prussia.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happening right now. Is you got the religious Jews are being set up. People like Bjerknes are trying to set them up, and so that way they will get the blame, and then some other people too. You know, Larry Silverstein. I don't know how he'll avoid it.
I know.
So they'll sacrifice a few people, and hopefully they think they'll fool people this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to work, because I don't think the average American can even distinguish, or the average person in other countries too. They don't distinguish between these different types of Jews. You know.
Well, okay. Let's say there are Jews at the top using religious Jews. So secular elite.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there are.
Let's say there are secular elite Jews using religious Jews, hypothetically.
Yeah.
But does that mean that they're all in cahoots together? Are the Jews that are being used in cahoots with the Jews that are using the other ones? So that it is all a big conspiracy, or are they legitimate victims?
Well, this is the details like that. I don't know if they're really working together, like that Naturi Karta. I'm sure that, you know, some of the Jews would love to put all the blame on those guys and just get rid of them. But that doesn't mean...
I've seen footage of those guys. I don't believe that they're legitimate.
They may not be.
No.
But at the same time, they may not be completely working with these goals. You know, they may not be supporting things like the 9/11 attack or the war in Iraq. They may support certain goals. But this is the details about what exactly they're doing, no one but them know. And I'm not even sure they all have a good idea. I bet if you could ask people within the network, you know, what are all these people doing, they don't even know.
Doesn't that require a profound amount of pre-planning and supreme intelligence in order to figure out all of these, in order to scheme that intricately?
You mean for like 9/11?
Just for everything, the whole.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It does,
and that's why I think they're having trouble. Is that it is very, very difficult to do this, to get this many people organized and planning. You know, planning all this and working together is very difficult, and I think that is why they're having so much trouble, and because they can't just put memos out. They have to be careful that what they do isn't seen. So they've got to do the planning in a rather secretive manner. So they've got that also to work with. They've got to do it all secretly. Somehow they have to secretly work together with people around the world and plan. And the problem they face is, how do you do that when you have to be careful about leaving paper trails or even emails? They have to do it secretly. And then they have the problem of within the group, some are going to say, I don't want that. Let's change the goal a little. I don't want to support this. And so they have the problem that within the group, some of the people are just going to disregard them because they don't want to support it. And so what they have is a very, very difficult task. They're trying to take over the world secretly. And this is why I say if they had an intelligent goal, they could be more public about it and say, here's what our goal is. And they wouldn't have to be hiding. They're hiding just like criminals because they don't want even their own members to know exactly what's going on. They don't want, and they certainly don't want us to know, the rest of us, Goyim. So they've got a very, very difficult task here. And now that the internet exists, they're even more exposed, so they have to be even more secretive.
Yeah,
which makes it even harder for them.
What do you think is happening with the internet now? I mean, do you think it really is accomplishing something?
Oh, of course. I mean, without it, I can tell. Without it, where would I be? I wouldn't have even known what was going on with 9/11. I didn't have a TV. I wasn't even paying attention. It was only because of the internet that I even saw it. Well, I did eventually see it on TV a little, but I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I wouldn't have known anything, and I wouldn't have had access to the photographs or the seismic data. I wouldn't have gone down to the library to look into it.
Yeah.
And nobody else would have. And then after I put the book out, see, like I said before, earlier, I said I didn't even realize it was just one of many events. I thought it was all by itself, just an isolated incident. But after I put my book and video out, then I started getting contact through the internet by other people saying, hey, check out Oklahoma City. Check out the moon landing.
Just the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing. The banking system, the government, history of Europe and America, and just the whole thing is just this huge. this huge complex thing that dwarfs 9/11, you know?
Yeah, and then you realize how big it is.
Yeah, it's huge.
And it's all because of the Internet. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. If you look back 20 years ago when people were trying to pass information around by paper, it didn't get anywhere. It was incredibly difficult.
Do you think all of this discussion and conjecture that we're engaging in and on these radio talk shows is worthwhile?
Well, I mean, it's having an effect. You don't know which one is. You don't know which show is going to have an effect and which won't.
Well, I think every show has little tidbits of information.
Well, yeah.
You know?
I mean, everything can have an effect. You just don't know which one is going to affect which people. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it seems to be happening at a faster pace because of the all. You can listen to many different people's opinions, many different people's information.
Yeah. It's going to change the world because it's going to make secrecy very, very difficult.
Yeah,
it's
sure
going to make
is,
it,
yeah.
It's going to make it difficult for crime gangs, and it's going to have an effect eventually on the world.
Yeah.
No matter what they do, I mean, Zionism, it's a lost cause. I don't know why some of these people don't just give it up and switch before it's too late.
Well, I mean, you know, we can't dismiss the possibility that they believe in it and that they believe it's a good thing. Yeah,
yeah, but to what? Die for it? I mean, what's the point? I mean,
maybe
they
do.
They're going to get a medal.
Maybe they do.
If they're, when they're dead, they're going to get a medal from their god. I mean, this is stupid.
But the truth is, I do want to know. I do want to know. So I agree with you on that point. I want to know what is really going on, what their real motive is.
Well, the thing is, I think if we were to expose them totally, we'd find they don't even know. They have more than one motive. There's more than one person that thinks they're in control.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have a control. They have look at the World Zionist Organization. There's branches all over the world. Who's in control of that? I mean, it could be that there's not as much control as you think. And, you know, the people within the group, that may be why they're having so much trouble. There's fighting going on in there. There's confusion going on, and they're all starting to wander off on different paths. But I think they should start realizing it's hopeless. What does Alex Jones think he's accomplishing by all this lying? What is he going to gain by dying for his stupid cause? What is his cause? Does he even know what his cause is?
I don't know anymore. I don't listen to him anymore.
Yeah, but he must think he has a cause. I mean, what is his purpose? He should think about it. What does he think he's accomplishing here?
I think he's definitely intelligent enough to know what his motive is, but he obviously isn't revealing it, and that does suggest some sort of compromise.
Well, it could be that the other thing about this gang is that they seem to require some initiation, like you see with a lot of gangs. You've got to do something, and so it could be that he's done stuff that he's afraid it's going to come out, and he has no choice. He's going to die one way or the other. That's the way I. Mm. Yeah, they trick him into doing something or other.
Hmm.
Or so it's. That's probably what he's afraid of. But the people in this movement, if they had been putting their effort for the past 100 years into something productive, do you realize what they could have accomplished? A group this size, much money. Instead of trying to recreate Israel, if they had actually put their time and money, instead of all these wars and all this stupid stuff. Unbelievable. They could have done so much.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, I have to restate that I don't believe – I don't know whether what they have been doing is productive or not. It could have been productive.
All we have to do is
look
at the results today. I don't see anything.
Well, what is enlightenment? I mean, enlightenment requires a certain degree of struggle, right? Possibly. So, no pain, no gain. You know, maybe the 20th century was just this big pain, this big growing pain, so that we can stand to gain now in this new century.
Well, I know you could look at it. You could look at it that way, but you see, what I'm saying is that their effect so far on the world has not been very beneficial, except from the point of view that we're learning about crime and we're learning about how crummy our governments are and we're learning how animal-like the people are. That's what I think is. In fact, I had that in my article, that one of my articles on my website. You know, one of the things you can learn from 9/11 is like sheeple psychology, the people. Look at the people.
Yeah,
this is really helping you to understand, you know, the average person really is like an animal.
Yeah, no, that's true. You're absolutely right about that. I've learned that, too, unfortunately, from just listening so much to people.
Oh, yeah, because the average
person
always
refining myself really is what it is. It's refining your understanding.
Well, yeah, so one of the things I pointed out is, you know, Larry Silverstein did actually the world a favor by going on TV and making those stupid remarks and all the rest of the things. I mean, from the point of view of understanding the human mind, that's what we're gaining from this. But you could do the same with the Italian crime gangs. You could say, well, we learned some stuff from them too, but that doesn't justify their existence and their behavior and their, you know, it doesn't.
The end does not justify the means, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it doesn't justify letting them run loose and commit their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say the end justifies the means, but what is their end? It's like I mentioned in my book. If they had accomplished something of value for the human race, then you could say, well, fine, it was worth it.
They view Israel as that accomplishment.
That's right. Within Israel, that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. They are the only ones benefiting. That's what I'm saying.
They're not
creating a new world order. They are creating their world order.
But do they think that they're benefiting the rest of the world with the establishment of Israel? Does Israel somehow benefit the rest of the world in their point of view?
Yeah.
How does it benefit?
Well, from their point
else?
Of view, it seems to be that they regard themselves as better. And they're going to take over the planet. So from their point of view, what they're doing makes sense. From their point of view, they are the superior race taking over these.
Maybe they
animals.
Don't view themselves as better or superior. Maybe they view their dharma, their work as important and helpful to the rest of the planet.
Well, whatever it is, I mean, I can see it seems like a lot of them think of themselves as, you know, they're taking over the world from these stupid people. And I'm sure that for years they've been laughing and insulting the Goyim for not even being able to see the world wars or the Apollo moon hoax. And, you know, from their point of view, they're just like the cats chasing after the mice.
Well, I find what has happened to the media, what I guess they have done to the media, to be totally appalling and repulsive. I mean, if you just turn on the TV, just how it's not even that it's debauched. It's not that it's oversexed. It's not that it's ugly. It's not that it's hyper multicultural. What it is that it's just so ugly, you know, and so offensive all the time, in your face, blah blah blah, bling bling bling, all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but why do you think that is, though?
You know?
I mean, see, here again, who are you going to blame that on? That's not. It's coming again from a lot of the Jews. If you follow who's doing it, who's producing the stuff,
I think a lot
of them actually like it.
Well, I don't know. No, I don't know. Again, you have to question why that would be occurring. You know, why the Babylonization of the television has occurred. You know, maybe that has some sort of political or sociological end to it that lends itself towards the creation of Israel or the creation of a better humanity.
They seem to be doing it partly because they want to destroy society to help them get control, and partly because I think a lot of them actually like it.
What?
This is what
like,
I mean. I
they,
think
they,
this crime
like,
network.
Like shit. They like just like.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right. I think a lot of the people that are joining this network are truly psychotic, and that's why they're in it now. It's attracted them. It's just like I said with unions. Once you get corrupt, it starts attracting other people with problems. And I think that's what's happened with this Zionist movement. You know, they're using trickery, murder, bribery. How do you do that with respectable people? You've got to bring in the freaks and the weirdos to go out and do your murders for you and to do all the rest of this. And so once you get them in there, don't you realize it's like bringing rats into your house? Now the Zionist movement has these freaks within it. They're destroying their own group by doing that. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting their own children because now their children grow up around this stuff. So their technique for taking over the world isn't working very well. They didn't plan it very good. They made mistakes. They're hurting themselves in the process. And so that's another dilemma they've got to deal with. You know, they're even in Israel, they're picking up some of their children, I bet you, are picking up some of this propaganda.
And becoming basically what, hip-hopized?
Well, yeah, and doing all their other, you know, picking up some of the bad attitudes, and especially the Jews that don't live in Israel, you know, they're even more exposed to it.
Well,
and
I mean, so I grew up with my best friend, more or less, when I was a kid, was Jewish, and he's had a really hard time in life, and he's, like, been in and out of jail since he was 16. I think he's in it right now. I mean, he's, you know, his, yeah. his brother's had a hard time too. His parents, you know, are divorced.
Well, now
so
we can join the movement.
Yeah, that's what I think about. I think, well, you know, I mean, you hear people talk about Jews, and then you hear people differentiating. Okay, say it's not the common Jew that's, you know, in responsible for this Zionist conspiracy. And then I think, well, you know, that may very well be true because, I mean, like, I've had firsthand experience, you know, firsthand knowledge of people that are Jewish that live entirely normal, even sometimes not so great lives, you know, without money, without any sort of benefits from the conspiracy if it exists.
Well, I know there's a lot of different Jews, and see, to most people, like years ago, I wouldn't have even known that there were different types. I didn't realize there was like the Sephardic type or the Ashkenazi type or the religious types and Orthodox and Reformed. I didn't know about all that, and I don't think most people do know all of these different types. And so that even some of the Jews may not be completely aware of this. You know, how many of them have even been to Hebrew school and know what their religion is?
Yeah, yeah.
How very few of them. And how many Christians? You see the same with the Christians. How many of them have any idea what their religion is?
Yeah, how many Christians read the Bible? You know?
Well, they don't even know what their religion is. They
right.
just know what they were. They pick it up just like hairstyles from their parents and their friends.
Have you ever had any Jewish friends, or do you have any Jewish friends now that you've ever discussed any of these issues with?
Well, nowadays, I don't think the Jews want to discuss it. I know somebody who's half Jewish. It hurts him to talk about it. He's older. He's not really a friend, but I know him. He grew up in Germany during World War II. And he was in Berlin, and he lived through the war. They weren't ever picked up for the camps, but he had to go wear the yellow star and couldn't go to school with the other kids. And he would qualify, I guess, as a Holocaust survivor, but he doesn't get any money. And when his family moved to Israel, because he's only half Jewish, it was on his father's side, he said they were discriminated against.
Oh, really?
It was in the 1950s when they went there. They went there after the war. And he said he had more discrimination there than in Germany.
Hmm.
Because his mother was not Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got that problem, too. You got the Jews that are not even accepted by other Jews.
Yeah.
Even though they're considered Jews, they think of themselves as Jews.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Jews seem to have a hard time with it. They aren't in the network. They have it's really painful for them to
mm-hmm.
face the possibility that they're being abused by their what they thought were their own people.
Yeah.
I think it hurts them more than anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, that was our first episode of Verge.com, Verge Radio. Questions and comments can be emailed to info@verge.com. Verge is spelled with a U, not an E. VURGE.com. That's info@verge.com.